Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
So last Sunday, we started this three-part sermon series on prayer. I want to just spend just a few minutes in reminding us of what we talked about. This day will look quite different because we're going to be doing speaking about prayer and working through elements of prayer and then giving you opportunities to pray, which might seem a little uncomfortable at times today. And maybe that's intentional, and maybe this will actually help us all. But we talked about prayer being something different than just words that we share, but more than that, it being an intimate and ongoing interaction with God. And if we can look at prayer as being more of an interaction we have with God, an ongoing friendship and communication with God, that it is different than the actual times of just sitting down or kneeling down or closing our eyes or folding our hands and saying certain words to the air. Which we know we're not saying them to the air, but that's kind of how it feels at times, right? And so if we look at prayer as being more of our heart and our minds having this ongoing, deep, intimate interaction with God throughout our day, all of a sudden our focus of what prayer is might change just ever so slightly. And so that's what, when we speak of prayer, what I'm really looking for. That we would shift our eyes away from these moments that we say certain words and we shift it more toward our heart and our soul engaging with the Almighty One. We were encouraged last week to pray four different specific types of prayers throughout this week. And this week in your insert that's in your bulletin as you receive at the door, there will be four additional prayers that we'll be looking at as well. But last week we looked at simple prayer, that idea of lowering our expectations of the actual words we say and just allowing our mind and our words and our thoughts flow to God. In the idea of the prayer of questions, we wanted to understand that frustrations and feelings of abandonment and where are you, God, those moments happen, and they have happened a lot this week. And so we wanted to recognize that God is good with our questions. God is okay with our frustration. And we looked at Psalm 88 where the psalmist writes really difficult words of, you know, this is not fair. Where have you been? Prayer of questions is good and a proper process for us to work through how we feel about God. This third prayer, the prayer of personal examination, we're challenged to look inside and ask God to reveal to us anything that could be in the way of us walking in relationship with Him. If there is anything, any action, any attitude in our life that does not please Him, that He would reveal it to us and that we would therefore respond to that and make it right. That prayer of personal examination. And then finally, this prayer of relinquishment. This prayer that the best thing we can ever do when we come to the end of the day is to relinquish or surrender our burdens and surrender our will to that of Christ. The prayer of relinquishment. It puts God on the throne when we do that. Inward prayer should be liberating, freeing for us, not guilt-driven, I haven't prayed enough today. Inward prayer should be honest and genuine, not fake, and not creating certain words that sound right. It won't always be refined, but when it comes from the heart, inward prayer is exactly what God is calling us to. So our focus then today begins to shift toward this upward prayer that I mentioned. Praying upward means that we focus our attention on the fact that God is God and we are not. And this is a hard thing for us humans. We want to control and manipulate and ask and demand and want things to go a certain way. But upward prayer says that we are praying to a God who is holy and right and just, and we are just a mere part of His creation and we are subject to His authority. Upward prayer puts God on the throne and takes us off of it and allows us to seek Him for who He is, holy and just. This type of prayer, as I have acknowledged, is kind of challenging on this day. It's challenging on a lot of your days. When the news you get at your home from your child, from your doctor, the relationship you have with your spouse or your family. When things don't go the way you want them to, or you think that they should, it's hard to call out on God and say you're worthy. And that's a part of the process that God is okay with as we wrestle with Him. I don't want that to keep us from saying, God, you're worthy today, because we need to. So today we're going to spend time with our attention focused upward, trusting in Him, focusing on Him, meditating on Him, yearning for Him, and seeking Him, maybe even at the foot of the cross. Today we're going to give you four additional types of prayers that you might be able to use this week, and I encourage you to put them into practice this week. The first prayer is the prayer of contemplation. The prayer of contemplation really immerses us into the silence of God. How many of you are comfortable in silence? Some? That is a difficult discipline to find. To absolutely sit with nothing. I'll even be working on something and need the radio playing. Or, you know, Tammy can't fathom why, but ESPN in the background. You know, I'll go out in the garage and I'll turn on the radio. I need noise all the time in my life. And I think many are like that. But there is something sweet that comes when we allow ourselves to be put into the silence of God. The goal of this prayer is to establish a special union between us and God and to consider the Lord in our daily life. It really is this, that we must relinquish all competing loyalties for our attention and align our love of God and the purity of our heart with Him. What's pulling for your loyalties? What's pulling for your attention throughout your day, throughout your week? Is it necessary to listen to the radio on your drive to work? Or is that just pulling for your loyalty and your attention? Is it important to get home and rush to the computer and check your Facebook status and see if you've been poked lately? Is that vying for your attention? Or would it be better just to sit in silence for a few moments, allowing God to speak? Because, you know, I think sometimes we say, I don't hear God's voice, but it's not for lack of Him speaking. It's for our inability to hear Him over the constant noise in our life. Now, those of us of parents of young children, you're going, dude, there is never a dull, quiet moment in my life ever, and I can't turn it off like the television, right? I got to babysit a six-month-old this week. I was reminded, I'm glad to have a 10 and 12-year-old. Okay, as much as I enjoyed Gideon to death, it's like I was exhausted, okay, and reminded that that was a long time ago. And I'm not putting posters up anywhere to start a babysitting service on my behalf, all right? Wow, tiring, I get that. But there's also needs to be this discipline of establishing some silence in our life so that we can stay in some type of rhythm with God's voice. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to look at a really great story in 2 Kings chapter 18. It's going to be on, a couple of verses will be on the screen as well. But I encourage you to look over this story. The story of 2 Kings 18 tells us about Hezekiah. Hezekiah becomes the king of the nation of Judah. Now Judah is what's known as the southern kingdom. Israel was one united kingdom for a short while. They went through a period of time where they had different kinds of leaders we called judges. And then they called out for a king. And so then they were given a king, even though God said, you don't want a king. They said, we want a king. And so God gave them a king. King was Saul. He was king for about a day and a half before he went evil and got all, you know, about himself. And so God was like, I told you so, but here we go. And so we'll start this thing. And so Saul is king for a little while, and then God raises up David, who David actually is a pretty good king. He makes a few mistakes in his time, quite honestly, but he's a pretty good king. As a matter of fact, he became kind of the standard of kings in his day. David had a son named Solomon. Solomon became a king, and he was a wise king. But after Solomon, man, I'm telling you, that third generation can be a doozy. And all of a sudden, the kings of Israel were wicked, not God-honoring, totally missing the point. And so the kingdom of God divided. And there were 10 tribes that stayed with Israel and 2 tribes that went to the south, and they divided. And their capital city was Jerusalem. And the northern kingdom of Israel, their capital city was Samaria. And they kind of lived separately, but they kind of treated each other like cousins. And they would support each other at times and fight with each other at times. And they would go through all this. So 2 Kings 18 tells the story of Hezekiah, who's the king of that southern kingdom, Judah. When he becomes king, their eyes are way off of God. And because he's a man of God, he begins to get their eyes focused once again. He tears down the high places, these places that were kind of a community worship centers for anybody and everybody. He actually destroyed the golden snake that Moses had created, and people were worshiping it like an idol, and they'd go and they'd make sacrifices to this crazy golden snake, and he destroyed it. He turned their attention back to the law of God. And he began to call them back to God's law and ask them to put their attention back squarely on the face of God. Hezekiah was a great king. As a matter of fact, the scripture says there was no king like him before him or after. He was a great, godly, and God-fearing king. And one day, the Assyrians, you've probably heard of Assyria in your world history, they began conquering people and tearing apart lands and doing amazing things. And they went to Israel and they conquered Samaria and they conquered that land. And then they came to Judah and they were taunting Judah, and they were at the gates and torn down some of their fortified cities, and they were at the gates of Jerusalem. And when at this moment they began to taunt over those gates and send messages into the king and say, "You cannot defeat us. Do you know how many gods we've destroyed already? Do you know how many lands said that we could not conquer them and we have? You can choose this one of two ways, Judah. You can spare your life and just come on our team. We'll give you 1,000 chariots. Just give us the soldiers and join our team. Or you can surrender your life, because if we come in with force, we will spare no one. It can be the easy way or the hard way." Parents, how many times have we used that line? Right? So here we are, King Hezekiah. He's nervous. He's not sure what to do. He sends a message to the prophet Isaiah. "Don't know what we need to do here," and he's a little stressed out. The word of the Lord comes to Hezekiah in this: "Sit in silence. Do not respond." Look at these words. It's recorded in 18 verse 36. The people remained silent and said nothing in reply, the entire nation, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." The word of the Lord was impressed upon Hezekiah to sit in silence. Do not respond to these words. Sometimes I believe the best thing we can ever do when facing personal turmoil, personal struggle, is to sit in silence. We want so badly to answer to the critics. We want so badly to tell that coworker where they're off. We want so badly to put everything right. Maybe sometimes the best thing to do to respond with God's presence is to be silent and to allow God to work in and through us. Today's service, as we've already said, is designed to be highly experiential. We've got kneelers here at the stage. We've obviously established a place of prayer here and a place of prayer over in this corner as well. I've asked Kim Ostrander to read several scriptures for us to kind of begin our prayer time now. And Kim's going to, come and read these words. We're going to sit in silence after she's done. I want you to listen to these words. Maybe read them silently as they appear on the screen as she reads them. Prepare your heart for what God has, and let's pray. Let's pray the prayer of silence and allow our minds to focus in on the quietness that God provides, the hushed silence that can happen in this prayer of contemplation. Maybe you'd like to come and sit in silence at a kneeler here, or come and kneel in silence at the foot of the cross here. Or maybe you'd like to go and sit in silence in a special place over there. Maybe you'd like to stay right where you are. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. But I ask you, let's be people who embrace God's silence today. This prayer of adoration. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, proclaims, "I've heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom, mighty and honor and glory and blessing.'" It's a glimpse into what heaven will be like as we gather and we sing praises to God. The prayer of adoration involves placing God on the throne of our hearts, no matter what. That song says so painfully, "You give and you take away." When the world's all as it should be, or when the storm clouds have surrounded, through great disappointment, through seeing God do amazing things, God is still on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. As we return to the story of Hezekiah in chapter 19, we see that the taunting still has continued, and the reality of their pending doom feels so real. Hezekiah is brought to his knees in prayer, and he says, "O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib," who is the Assyrian leader speaking these words to them, who insult the living God. "It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from this hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, our God." This is not a prayer specifically driven to deliver them. This is a prayer in the face of great turmoil that says, "God, it is time to be God. Today I look at you and you alone are God. It's time for you to rise up and show yourself to be the one true God." This is a prayer of adoration, even in the midst of incredible struggle and fear. Is this not fitting for us today? Is this not fitting for us today who have struggled with loss, who have struggled with frustration and misunderstanding of what is going on in this world? For those of us who are living in an economic downturn that is so difficult to grasp nor understand, we're on the verge of losing this or losing that and not having work, and we want to cry out, "Save us." But maybe the best prayer we can say is, "God, you're God. You are God and I trust you and I know that you'll take care of me. And God, I know that you will do what's right. And God, in my life, the one thing I want you to do above everything else is to let people see the fact that you are the one true God. That I'll serve you no matter what. That I'll call out in your name no matter what. And I know it's easy to preach a message that says that until I've sat in your shoes. Those of you who have lost a spouse to cancer or illness, those of you who have gone through the darkest of moments. But in those darkest moments, God is still God. God is still God. And I wish dark moments didn't come, but you know what? We probably wouldn't appreciate the good moments if we didn't have some of the dark. And so God is still God. How do we respond? How do we respond to a God who still yearns for praise and worship when we don't feel like it? I think it's just like we teach our kids sometimes. Sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do. Sometimes we encourage our kids, you just got to do that homework assignment even though you don't want to do it. Because pushing through and focusing on what's right will ultimately help us understand more and better. So those of us who have had children who have been diagnosed with horrible things, or those of us who have lost a child, those of us who have gone through great devastation, do you want to change it? Absolutely. Do you have the choice to change it? No. So we're left with this option. Grow bitter or keep God on the throne and keep trusting that someday, somehow, this will in some way make sense. The prayer of adoration can be challenging. The prayer of putting God on the throne can be hard. But God is still God. So my questions for you today are this, as we move into a time of praying, prayers of adoration. How do you pray when life is attacking you and you don't feel safe? How do you pray when your enemy has surrounded you and continues to taunt you and you have nowhere to go, like Hezekiah? How do you pray when your faith is being attacked and ridiculed as empty and hopeless? Do you pray the prayer of vindication or the prayer of adoration? Do you pray the prayer, spare me this pain, or do you pray the prayer of, I'll trust you, adoration, you are God, I am not. I'm not sure what you're going through today. I won't pretend to understand. But I want to challenge you in the next moments that we have together to pray prayers of adoration. Getting your focus off of those problems and on to the God who is worthy of our praise. Prayers of adoration that look to His goodness and His kindness and His mercy and His love, even in the midst of enemies surrounding and taunting and coming after us. Prayers that are focused on a God who gave life and in His sovereignty has the ability to take as well. Prayers of adoration focus our attention squarely on Him and hopefully give us hope and peace and a moment, maybe even of joy, as we reflect on His goodness. Once again, our prayer stations are open. I encourage you to move out and to pray if you feel so inclined to do so. Kim is going to read some scriptures again to help set the stage for us. We're going to play music ever so slightly because silence is just uncomfortable, right? So ever so slightly, you might hear some music in the background. And I want you to be in position of prayer, of adoration. God, You are on the throne. We are not. You are worthy. We are unworthy. Help us just now in the moments that we have to simply pray prayers that focus on Your goodness. This will be hard for so many of us, God. But help us do this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God, you have given us so much. You have given us life. You are worthy of our praise today. Help us to focus on your good gifts that you give us. Help us to worship you and who you are today. Help us to see you for a God who is quick to give compassion and mercy, a God who is quick to forgive. We love that we can call out on your name at any time and you are there for us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You never slumber. You're always awake. You're always there. So God, we give you thanks this day for being a God who is separate from his creation. You're near as a whisper. You're in our thoughts. You are right here with us today. And for that, we give you praise and glory. There is no other God on this earth. You are alone. You stand alone. And we worship you, the one true God. We praise you for being a God of love. Calls us to be people of compassion. Oh God, help us to worship you. In the midst of our frustration, in the middle of our attacks, help us to continue to worship you today. Trust in you today. I would ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've prayed the prayers of silence. We've begun to understand what it means to pray in adoration. And now I want to shift our attentions to the prayers of meditation. This seems a little strange maybe for many of us. And I'm really kind of frustrated that the Middle Eastern religions of our world have kind of taken the word meditation and made it something that we feel like we can't necessarily utilize. Prayers of meditation, quite simply, is the discipline of experiencing the presence of God by reading the Word of God. Experiencing the presence of God by reading the Word of God. Again, you might say, I've never heard God speak to me. Do you know how He speaks to us? By reading His Word, by being in His Word, by allowing His Word to soak in us. The psalmist in Psalm 119 wrote, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." This is the words. These are the words of one who has learned the preciousness of meditating upon God's word. Taking maybe just a small verse of Scripture and allowing it to kind of go over and over and over in our minds. Allowing God and giving Him freedom to speak to us through it. So today what we'd like to do is to allow a verse of Scripture to come into our minds. And Kim will read it in just a few moments and just allow it to just kind of soak in our spirit and in our soul. The ancient writers came up with the term for this called Lectio Divina, and maybe you've been a part of such a structure. Lectio Divina simply means that we use a repeated process of the same Scripture and we ask various questions to gain different insights. So, when you read a passage of Scripture to allow prayers of meditation to take place, you would first read the text and just ask that there might be some words that pop out to you. Okay? And so you would read this text and just be looking for what really kind of hits you differently. I remember reading from the translation or the paraphrase, The Message, which many of you may be familiar with, quite different than the NIV or King James or any other translation. It's actually just a paraphrase version of the Bible. But I was reading in the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter, and I was struck by some amazing words as I just read over and over and over this particular paragraph within John 3. And these words were popping out to me of God's love and how He just loved us so much. And I went, I need to know what verse I'm reading. Because quite honestly, in The Message, you don't know what verses you're reading. And as I turned to the NIV to find the comparable words, I was moved to tears that day by John 3:16. Probably the earliest scripture I can ever remember memorizing. And yet on this day, because I was meditating upon this particular paragraph, God used these most familiar words to challenge me to the very depth of my soul. So when we begin this process of meditation, we allow the Word of God to be our focus, and we ask God to reveal to us what stands out in this particular passage. Then we turn our attention to the text again, and as we read it, we're asking a different question. What new truth would you like to reveal to me today? What can I learn through this passage of Scripture today? And then you spend time asking that question and reading the Scripture. And then you read the Scripture a third time and you say, what steps do I need to take in making this Scripture a part of my life? What action steps are you calling me to? Is there someone I need to speak with? Is there something I need to do to make this Scripture come alive? And then we allow God to speak to us through His Word. Kim is going to read Psalm 33, a psalm that I sent out to those of you who are on our church email list yesterday afternoon as a part of our informing you with what was the latest with the Poindexter family. A prayer potentially within the Psalms that speaks of hope. But I want you to listen to these words, potentially read them with her, and allow God to speak to you and you to speak God through these moments. And see what God might reveal to you through these words. The prayer of meditation is quite simply a prayer of quietness like we've been already. And yes, a prayer of adoration because we're allowing God and wanting God to speak to us. It's a prayer of revelation that God would also reveal Himself to us. Hear these words from Psalm 33. Prayer of meditation is going to feel very awkward for many of us. It's part of that stillness that probably is just uncomfortable. And yet I believe it can be a great way for God to communicate to us through His Word. Sometimes I think we get caught off guard. I think we need to read these big sections of Scripture. We need to get through the entire Bible in a year or whatever. Maybe we just read at such a slow pace and allow God to speak to us through each part. He'll speak directly to your needs. He'll speak directly to your concerns. He can speak directly to your questions when we take time to meditate upon His Word. Now we have one final prayer today. It's the prayer of a sacramental kind of prayer. Sacrament is a word that is used just to describe what is holy or a sacred process in our life. These are moments that utilize visible reminders of God's invisible love, mercy, and grace. Two commonly held sacraments in all of the Christian churches would be baptism and communion. These are great examples, especially in water baptism, of God's mercy and grace taking us under the water, kind of joining Jesus in death and being raised back to life again, and also that cleansing of our sins that we so desperately desire. So baptism becomes a visible reminder of what God is invisibly doing in us through His love and through His mercy. Foster argues, the author of the book Prayer that I've been reading, argues that at the heart of every Christian prayer is this Eucharist feast, or Holy Communion, we would call it. Within this sacrament, we are called to examine our lives, to repent of our sins, call out to God in petition, offer forgiveness to others, contemplate God's purpose and will for our lives, and ultimately receive the gift that is at these tables in our gymnasium today with thanksgiving, celebration, and also transformation. Paul had some words, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthian church that they were kind of not using the Lord's Prayer properly. They were kind of rushing to the table and taking more than they needed and not leaving enough so everybody could participate. Hear these words. For I've received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, Paul says. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink in judgment on themselves." Now, these are difficult words. Sometimes we allude to this when we receive communion, and other times we trust that you will go about it this way. Here's how I want us to receive communion today. In an attitude of prayer, I want us to take our time, first of all. I don't want us to feel rushed. I don't want us to feel like, oh, we got to get in line and there might not be enough. I don't want us to feel like anyone's even looking at us. I want you to take only when you feel God compels you to. And maybe today, as you contemplate and you take your time, that maybe this isn't your day. I said in all my 10 years of youth ministry, when we would do various things that were experiential like this, I would always tell the kids, I respect you more for not than doing when you shouldn't. If that makes sense. But we need to take our time and allow this moment of receiving this holy sacrament of communion to really be a moment of prayer. Examine your life today, your motives, your love for God, your desires to serve Him, your willingness to embrace His love into your life. These are not tables of perfection. These are tables of desire and tables of wanting God to help us to flow through us. As you examine your life and as you take your time, I'd also call you to repent. When God reveals something in your life that is not holy, that does not need to be there, something that you know and you're convicted of in your spirit, something that I cannot even speak of, then when that happens, I call you to repent, which simply is a matter of telling God you're sorry and moving into a place where you don't want to live in that pattern of life anymore. And where you say, "God, please forgive me." And can I tell you, He's quicker than you can even imagine in forgiving you today. Seek out His forgiveness. Seek out His hope and peace. And when you've done those things, come to a table and celebrate this meal. Come to a table and take a piece of bread and take a cup and take it with thanksgiving, for it represents the body of Christ. It represents the sacrifice and blood of Christ that was shed for your sins. Just as the scripture was said, and Kim will reread in just a moment, this meal was prepared for you by the life of Christ and also by the death of Christ so that we could be forgiven. So that we could have peace. So that we could live life eternal. Christ calls us to do this, to remember all that He's done for us. And that's what I call you to on this day. To take time. Maybe find a place of prayer first. Take time. Examine yourself. Examine your life. Allow God to speak to you. And repent of those things that are getting in the way of you and Him. So that when you come to this table, when you embrace the bread, you do it with thanksgiving. When you take the cup and you drink, you do it with thanksgiving for all that God has forgiven you for all that God has given you. Lord, in this moment, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion in this fashion, would you come in to this place, reveal yourself to us, give us the strength we need to usher a prayer of repentance, a prayer of examination, and help us to receive these elements today as a prayer of thanksgiving to you for all that you are, for who you are, holy God. Worthy of our praise.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.